Well, I really enjoyed the presence of God in this place tonight. I don't know about you, but that's the whole purpose of coming to the house of God. Is to feel that manifested presence of Almighty God. You know, I go to church weeks at a time just for 30 seconds of His presence. It's worth it all. But you can never underestimate what 30 seconds and the manifest presence of God will do. The manifest presence of God, just 30 seconds of His presence, turn a murderer like Saul to turned him into a martyr named Paul. It turned Thomas the doubter into a martyr that died pierced with the Himalayas with the gospel. So it can turn a person totally around the presence of God. So well, with that said, Titus chapter number 2, when you find it, you can stand with me, please. If you're able. If you can't stand, I understand that. God does too. Titus 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look at that again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I know many of you tonight are wondering, what in the world am I doing with a 7-Up up here? Well, we can drink it after the service. But I'm going to use tonight for a subject, the 7-Ups of the second coming of Christ. The 7-Ups of the second coming of Christ. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your mighty presence that have graced us in this house tonight. Lord, I pray tonight for that Holy Ghost anointing to come upon this frail piece of clay as I will endeavor to preach the Word of God. I pray, God, that you anoint their ears to hear. Help me to say all that you want me to say in the manner you want me to say it in. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that I would do no harm or violence to thy word, and that I would not hinder the flow of thy spirit in no form or fashion. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight in the house of God. 7-Ups of the second coming of Christ. Now remember, as a boy growing up in the church, it would seem like every other message you would hear behind the pulpits would be a message preached that Jesus Christ was coming again. It seemed like every other message you would hear behind the pulpits, the preachers would be preaching that Jesus is coming again. He would preach that message and it would seem like he would almost lose the whole congregation because the people would be shouting and praising and glorifying God because of what he was saying. These people actually believed that he was coming again. And that message probed them. That message stirred them. The preacher could hardly preach that message without losing the whole congregation because they were shouting the praises of God. It was doing something within their heart, and they actually believed that Jesus was coming again. And they believed that. Preachers preached that, but nowadays it seems like that the message of Jesus is coming again seems to be an outdated message. Nobody seems to be preaching it. Nobody seems to be declaring it behind the pulpits anymore. Today you hear a lot of preaching. You hear a lot of preaching about positive thinking and self-esteem and positive convention and money. But you hardly ever hear messages anymore about the coming of the Lord. But I want to say to you tonight, I want to say to the scoffers and the doubters and the unbelievers that Jesus Christ is coming again. For the Bible said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. But I've gone to prepare a place. And if I go, I shall come again. I don't believe this message of the rapture. I don't believe this message that Jesus is coming again because Grandpa taught it to me or because Grandma taught it God. Yes. I remember as a boy, the preacher went and got past the first introduction of that message. The place would have been going bonkers. Because they believed it. But it seems like today, we don't seem to believe in it like we once did. It don't move us like it once did. Why? Because we've grown accustomed to the world that we live in.
That's right.
We have grown accustomed to the world we live in. We don't want the Lord to come. Because, well, we've got grandbabies. We've got this going on. We've got jobs. We've got all this going on. We've sank too deep into the soil of this planet. We've got too accustomed with this world. And Jesus, you know, the Bible said in Exodus chapter number 32 that Moses went on the Mount of God. And he was there getting the Ten Commandments. And the people began to say one to another, Moses delays it coming from... The Bible said Moses delayed his coming. And the people said to Aaron, we don't know what's happened to this man Moses. Yeah. We don't know what's come up of this man. Why don't you make us a God that shall go before us? See, Moses delayed his coming, and the people began to go into idol worship. And that's where we're at today. It seems like Jesus has went to heaven, and because he has delayed his coming in our minds, we have erected idols. We have erected things in our life that takes our eyes off of him, and therefore we have sank too deep into the soil of this world. The Bible said when Moses delayed his coming, they began to eat and drink and be merry and to begin to play. Amen. In the world, in church, that's where we're at. It's as if Jesus has delayed his coming, and we have erected idols in our hearts to take the place of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Paul told Titus, he said, as we look for the blessed hope, we should, number one, deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Paul told Titus, listen to me, he said, deny ungodliness. What is that? What does it mean to deny ungodliness? It means to deny all things that are contrary to the things of God. Deny worldly lust. That's those desires, those affections, those appetites that would control us. We've got to keep them under control. We can't be unbridled. We can't just do what we feel like doing. I have learned. You know, I tell my kids no all the time. You know, I tell them, no, don't touch that hot stove, because if they touch it, it's going to burn their hand. And it seems like I'm always saying no, but I'm not telling them no because I hate them. I'm telling them no because I love them. And you've got to learn to tell yourself no. You can't. You've got to deny yourself of all these worldly lusts, these things that pull you away from God, these things that pull you away from the Bible, these things that pull you up off your knees. You've got to say no to. You can't give in to these desires and these affections that pull you away from the Lord. He said, deny these things. Live soberly. What is he talking about? He's talking about, there's two meanings to the word live soberly. It means that you and I as a Christian, we ought not be sipping saints.
There you go.
We ought not be taking a swig of beer from time to time, a little wine.
No.
That's one meaning of it. And it's sad that you've got to preach things like that, because there's people today in the church, Pentecostal church, that feel that it's okay to drink a little beer. But the Bible says, woe unto the man that drinks strong drink. I went into a restaurant the other day. A preacher came in. How do I know he's a preacher? Well, of course he was dressed the part, but then some of his congregation was there, and They greeted him. And of course, I didn't say anything to him. I didn't know the guy. But he went in, his wife came to sit down across from me. We was at Ruby Tuesdays. It was just me and Jake. That's the reason I was at Ruby Tuesdays. And I had $10 there. I would give things, but it wouldn't cost as much. So we were there. And this pastor and his wife ordered liquor. They brought it to their table. I thought, dear God, what kind of line is that? What kind of light is that?
Yeah.
We're doing some of the same things that the world is doing.
Yes.
He said, deny yourself, live soberly. That also means not to be intoxicated by the gods of this world. We are not to be intoxicated by the spirit of the world. He said, live righteously. What does that mean? That means to say to God, you are to do right things.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, I knew this was going to be quiet tonight. But the saint of God, we ought to do right things. There are just some things we ought not do as a child of God. There are just some things that we should not do. I shouldn't have to tell somebody you shouldn't do that. They ought to know not to do such and such. We ought to live righteously and godly in this present world. You won't have to live godly in heaven, or you don't even have to worry about living godly in hell. It's between here and there, between here and eternity. We ought to live this way, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming. It keeps me on my knees. It keeps me praying. It keeps me seeking God. I know that He's coming. I don't know the day nor the hour, but I do know He's coming. And that keeps me hungry. That keeps me seeking God. Knowing that He's coming ought to keep us on our knees seeking God. You don't want to miss that great day when He shall come again.
Help us, Lord.
Listen. This is no time to allow your heart to grow cold and stagnant.
No.
Matthew 24:20 says, pray that your flight not be in winter. What does that mean? Pray that your flight not be in winter. What does that mean? It means this. He said, you better pray that when I come, that I don't find your hearts cold and calloused. Because cold hearts will not fly. Cold hearts will not fly. And I'm afraid that's where we're at today in the church. Our hearts have grown cold. Our hearts have grown indifferent. Things of God no longer move us to the things that we're no longer praying and seeking God like we once did. Why? Because our hearts have grown cold. And church, don't you dare let heaven catch your heart cold when Jesus calls our name and calls us up out of here. Don't you dare let Him catch you with a heart cold. Now listen to me. The coming of Jesus Christ is in two parts. The rapture. Those scriptures are found in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. The second part is the 7-year tribulation on earth, also known as Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. Let me say that again. The 7-year tribulation on earth is known as Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. Now listen, at the height of the tribulation, Jesus will set His feet on this earth again, according to Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 15, Revelation 14, Revelation 16. The Bible said in Zechariah that the Lord shall descend from heaven, and His feet shall hit the Mount of Olives, and the mountain shall cleave to the east and to the west, and He'll walk right down the middle of that mountain being split, walk right down the middle and set His throne up, and the kingdom shall be established, according to Revelation 20. Now let me say something right there. At the height of the tribulation, Jesus will come and put His feet on the Mount of Olives. His feet will literally touch the earth at the height of the tribulation. At the end of tribulation, His feet will touch the earth. Now listen to me. I've got to tell you this. But the rapture, when He raptures us, His feet will not touch this planet. According to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it says that we shall meet the Lord in the what? Air.
Amen.
Didn't say He was coming to the earth at that time. He says we'll meet Him in the air. That's a separate occasion. See, before the tribulation begins, He will take the church out. And I'll get into more of that in a minute. But His feet will not touch this planet at that time. His feet will touch this planet at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Now we feel that the rapture is upon us. The rapture will be signified by three distinct things, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, the blast of the trump of God. Now what is that trump of God? What is that sound of the trumpet? The Bible said in Exodus 19, verses 13 through 19, I won't read them all, but it says this, that God told Moses to assemble the people, to wash their clothes, to sanctify them. For in 3 days I will come down to the mount. And this is what he said. And the Mount Sinai was altogether with smoke, because the Lord descended upon it with fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole earth and the whole mount quaked greatly. Now listen, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice, and the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top. And the mount of the Lord shook, and God called Moses and said, bring ye the people close to the mountain. You see, he said, Moses, I'm coming down in 3 days, and I want you to take and sanctify the people, wash their clothes, get them ready, for I'm coming down. He said, when you hear the sound of that trumpet, when that sound of that trumpet gets louder and louder and louder, then he said, I've come down. And church, listen to me. What's that telling you now? That's telling us one thing. Now is the hour. Get the people ready. Prepare them. Sanctify them. Let them wash their hearts. Get their hearts clean, because my trumpet's going to sound louder and louder. Then I will come down. I will come down. Now's the time. Don't wait till it comes down to prepare your heart, because the Bible said here in Exodus, if you read on down, if their heart's not prepared, they'll die.
That's right.
Now's the time to prepare your hearts. Now the sound of this trumpet has been used all through the Word of God. The trumpet had been used all through the Word of God, number one, to sound an attack, they used a trumpet. To assemble people, they blew a trumpet. The sound of a trumpet, they would blow at approaching danger. Alarms in the camp, beginning of the Sabbath. They used a trumpet in worship and celebration. At the rebuilding of the walls, they blew a trumpet. When they moved the Ark of the Covenant, they used a trumpet. Solomon's temple, when they dedicated that temple, they blew trumpets. In the Battle of Jericho, what did they blow? They blew trumpets and shofars. And also, a trumpet will be used in the rapture, for the voice of the archangel and the trump of God is going to sound. Now, I know this is a lot of information, but I've got to give it to you. I hope you're taking notes on this. Now, the sound of this trumpet will signify, or will signal, the beginning of the seven ups associated with the second coming of Christ. So number one, the first one I want to talk about tonight, when that sound of that trumpet blows, the dead in Christ will wake up. The dead in Christ will wake up. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in disobedience, and the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. And of the mind were by nature the children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, you hath he quickened and saved us. By his grace are you saved. Oh, listen to me. He said, listen to this scripture we read here in Ephesians chapter number 2. He said, you were sometimes, you walked by the course and the power of this world. You lived by sin. You were dominated by the world. Everything you did was worldly. Everything you done was worldly. You lived the way you wanted to live. He said, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, he said, every one of you were just like that, but God had mercy on your soul. Oh, church, let me stop there and preach just a while about that. Ain't you glad tonight for those two words, but God? I know what I'm talking about tonight. I've had a but God in my life. You've had a but God in your life. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about when I was away from God, when I was on my way to hell, when I was bound by drugs, when I was bound by this world, when I was on my way to hell, all of a sudden I had a but God show up in my life. Oh, glory to God. the dead, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But God quickened us. He was rich in mercy. He was rich in grace. See, the Holy Ghost right now, He's moving now trying to awaken hearts. He's trying to touch lives. He's trying to awaken people now. But listen, if you wait to the sound of the trumpet to be woke up, at that sound of that trumpet, the spiritually dead will wake up, but to realize they've waited too long. When that sound of that trumpet blows, the dead will wake up. The spiritually dead will wake up, but just to realize I've waited too long. Now's the time. Now's the getting in time. He's knocking on our hearts. He's knocking, saying, let me in now. I want to wake you up now. I want to touch you now. It says here in Ephesians, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Did you know disobedience is a spirit? When you disobey God and you disobey what God's laid out in that Bible, you've got a spirit of disobedience. Disobedience is a spirit. We've all at one time operated in this spirit. Mm-hmm. But God. I can preach all night on but God. I'm working on that message right now. But God. I'm going to come in here pretty soon and preach about God. And there's a lot of but Gods in the scripture. The trumpet will wake up the dead. And I pray, church, that God can wake you up now before that trump blows. Number two, the saints of God, when that trumpet blows, the saints of God will get up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the dead in Christ will rise first. John 11:25 said, Jesus said unto Mary, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, let me tell you, church, that the saints of God are going to get up. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you've got lost loved ones. You've got loved ones, excuse me, that's gone by the way of the grave. They died here full of God. They died full of Jesus. And when that trump sounds, they're going to be the first one to come up out of that ground. Oh, hallelujah. I long for that day, church, because I've got a grandma sitting down in the cemetery, and there's going to come a day when that trump of God's going to sound, and grandma's coming up out of the ground. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, come on, send that out of my uncle Jay. Oh, grandma's going to come up. Ain't no hold on right now. Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Woo! I got an uncle Danny. Yes. That's going to come up at the sound of that trumpet. Lord, I'm going to My wife's got a dad that's down there in the cemetery. But the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Oh, they're going to lead us to heaven. They're going to lead us there. Hallelujah. Their spirit's already there. But when that trump blows, that body's coming out of that ground, and their spirit's going to unite. That's why, church, you better be right. We've got loved ones gone on. Oh, it's going to be a glorious reunion. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One thing about it, I want you, church, to promise me one thing. I want you to promise me one thing. If you happen to meet me, Grandpa, to the other side, I want you to promise me one thing. If you meet me there, when I come across that portal and open those gates and I step across that threshold, I want you to be there shouting on through. Gonna hold my body down. That trump's going to be so loud, it's going to blow them right out of the ground. Glory to God. That trump's going to blow, the dead's going to wake up, the saints are going to get up, and number three, the church is going to go up. Well, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I tell you a mystery, Paul says. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He said, church, we're not all going to sleep, but glory to God, we're all going to be changed. This old mortal body is going to put on immortality. I'm going to look just like Jesus. Amen. I'm going to shine. I'm going to glorify God. Oh, listen to me. That church is going to go up, and we're going to meet the Lord. One thing about it, I don't know about you, it wouldn't hurt my feelings none if I'm standing right smack dab in the middle of the cemetery when that trump blows, because when they go up first, I want to catch hold of somebody's heel and go up with them. Hallelujah. He said, we'll meet each other in the air, and there we shall be ever with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Church, I'm coming to comfort you tonight. I've come to comfort you. He said, comfort one another with these words. Honey, it's a comfort. It's a comfort knowing that he's coming again. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Oh,
hallelujah to
God.
The dead will wake up. The saints of God will get up. The church will go up. Number four, the world governments will blow up. Daniel, chapter number 2, verses 32-35, says this. The image head, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And he saw this big image in his dream. And when he saw this dream, it terrified him. He couldn't interpret the dream. He called all the soothsayers. He called all the astrologers of his day, all the magicians of his day, wanting them to interpret the dream, but they were not able to do so. But he got back to Nebuchadnezzar and said, there's one named Daniel who has the great spirit of God living within him, and he can interpret the dream, O Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel was a captive in Babylon. Listen to me. Daniel was a captive in Babylon. He had been in captivity for 70 years. Think about that. He lived in Babylon 70 years in captivity. But Babylon never got in him. Glory to God. We may live in this world 70, 80 years. But church, that world don't have to get inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. Daniel lived right smack dab in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. But Nebuchadnezzar's ideals and theologies never got inside of him, because he kept God on the forefront of his heart. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, saw this image, he couldn't interpret it. None of the great magicians of his day, astrologers, stargazers couldn't interpret the dream. But he said, somebody came to him and said, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, there's a man in the kingdom in captivity whose name is Daniel. He has the great spirit of God to interpret dreams. He said, call him. Nebuchadnezzar told him the dream. And this is what Daniel said. He said, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast, his arms silver, and his belly and his thighs brass. His legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest it until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image on his feet, and that were of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Listen to this. Then the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold was broken all to pieces, and they were driven by the wind like chaff blown in the wind. For as much as thou sawest this stone, Daniel said, O Nebuchadnezzar, that was cut out of the mountain without hands, it broke the pieces of iron, the brass, and the clay, the great God of heaven hath made known the king. And what shall be given, it shall come to pass, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure. What do you say? What does all this mean? The feet of brass, and the legs of iron, and the gold, and the thighs of brass. What does all that mean? Listen to me. Those five governments he saw there, the feet of brass, and the arms of silver, and the belly, and the thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of clay. All this represents the five governments: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and revised Rome. But listen to me, in other words, the world empires, he saw there Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you saw all these world empires that would come together against the Lord and against his Christ. But he said, I saw a stone that was cut out of the mountain without head, come tumbling down and destroying those world empires. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that phrase that we read, cut out of the mountain without hands, simply means when the Lord comes, he's not going to need any human hands to help him destroy this world's government. Oh, no, church, don't be placing your hope in the world's government, because it's going to blow up. The stone that's going to come out of heaven and tumble down, he's going to crush it all to pieces. Hallelujah. This is Bible. I'm preaching to you right out of the Bible.
Thank you.
Amen.
We've got a lot of people right now placing a lot of hope in this world. But church, these governments are going to blow up. When that trump sounds, the dead will wake up. Saints will get up. The church will go up. Government world, the world governments will blow up. And number five, the devil will be locked up. I said the devil will be locked up. Revelation 20 verses 1 through 3 says that I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent called the devil, bound him for 1,000 years. After these things he shall be loosed for a season. Listen to me. When the Lord himself comes and establishes his kingdom, he'll reign on this planet for 1,000 years. But at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil will be loosed for a season. But don't you dare think the devil's going to stay free, because the Bible said in verse 10 of Revelation 20, he was cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, church, that's why the devil is fighting everybody that he can. Yes. He knows his destination. He knows the interpretation is sure. He knows he's going to hell. He knows he's going to the lake of fire. He knows he's going to burn forever and forever. That's why he's trying to pull us down. That's why he's trying to destroy us. He don't want to be all alone in hell. He wants to drag us down and pull us down. But church, listen to me. You don't have to go to hell. You can be free. You can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You don't have to be bound by the devil. He can set you free. He said the devil will be locked up. He knows his destination. Let me ask you this. The devil, who was one time named Lucifer, lived in heaven, was a worshiper, worship leader over heaven. Now, we're trying to get to heaven, ain't we? The devil, Lucifer, got kicked out of heaven, right? My question is, if we're trying to get to heaven, why in the world would you want to follow somebody that been to heaven but didn't have enough sense to stay there?
Exactly. Good question.
You know, we're all the time, people all the time buying stocks. This ink, that ink, this incorporation, that incorporation. But why would you want to buy into Lucifer's ink? Because I read in the Bible, he started out way up there. Then he ended up down on earth. And then the next time you read about him, he's in the bottomless pit. He had bottomed out. See, his stock is going down, down, down. But Jesus incorporated. Glory to God. He came down, but then he went up, up, up. Why don't you buy into his incorporation? He's not going to fail you. He's not going to stalk out and crash out. He's going to rise. Glory to God. And we're going to rise with him. The dead will wake up, saints will get up, the church will go up, the governments will blow up, the devil will be locked up. Number six, the earth will burn up. According to 2 Peter 10. 2 Peter 10. The Bible said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Everything that you know, everything that you see in this world, church, is going to burn up.
Yes.
Everything that we know according to the scripture is going to burn up with fervent heat.
Not a stone left on
the
stone.
All of this is going to go away to give way to something new. Mm-hmm. You know, every year after winter, I see all these burns. They burn all the leaves off the yards, and they burn these, they call them control burns. Yeah. What are they doing? They're burning all the old off. Why? To get place to the new.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen here. This earth that we live in, this old hellish earth, is going to burn up. But God's doing it for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting us ready for the new heavens and the new earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
The earth is going to burn up. Number seven, the kingdom of God is going to start up. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John said. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, sorrow, crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Woo! Glory to God. He said, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, John, write it down, son, for the words that you're hearing, they are true and they're faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Hallelujah. I am Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. And I give unto him that is athirst a fountain of living water. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, listen to me. When that trump of God sounds, amen, at the end of that 7-year tribulation, the kingdom of God's going to start up. Oh, hallelujah. Everything we know is going to pass away, and God's going to make all things new. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
The seven ups of the second coming. Let me say them to you again. The dead will wake up. The saints will get up. The church will go up. The governments will blow up. The devil will be locked up. The earth will burn up. And the kingdom will start up. Oh, isn't that good? Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
You know, folks, all this that we preach to you tonight is a total condition. It's totally up to us what's going to happen with our lives. We can make heaven our home, or we can live somewhere else. But either way, we're eternity bound. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when that trump blows. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost power of God. God, that we felt in this service tonight, the touch of heaven, the word of God that has encouraged us and spoke to us. I thank you for it, Jesus. Fathers, we're moving to this altar service tonight. Would you meet us here around these altars? In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you tonight that we need to do like Moses commanded the people, like God commanded Moses to tell the people, prepare your hearts, sanctify yourselves, for in 3 days I'm coming again, for in 3 days I'm coming down. I don't know the day or know the hour, but I do know he's coming. I believe you do us all good tonight. I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. But I believe you do us all good tonight to come around these altars and make things right if there's something wrong in our hearts. And if you're saved and full of the Holy Ghost, we ought to hit these altars anyhow and just pray for those that are not right with God. Come on, everyone that would. If you can't come and kneel, just pray at your seat sitting down. Let's all spend some time with God in prayer tonight. Let's get ready to meet God. Hallelujah.